Next week, we'll also feature a highly unusual occurrence when Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard will deliver an address in the debating chamber on Wednesday morning. Announced by the Prime Minister, John Key, on Monday, details of the invitation were provided to members on Wednesday by the government's Deputy Leader of the House.
The Honourable Simon Power.
Mr. Speaker, following agreement in the Business Committee, I seek leave for the House to sit on the ringing of the bell on Wednesday, 16 February 2011, following the state luncheon in honour of the Prime Minister of Australia. Prime Minister Gillard will address members at 11 a.m. that day, and in this regard I also seek leave for select committee meetings to adjourn at 10:45 a.m. until the conclusion of questions for oral answer. I further seek leave for the bell to be rung at 10:50 a.m. for 2 minutes to summon members to the address to be given by the Prime Minister of Australia in the chamber.
Although the parliamentary clock won't officially start ticking until MPs return to the chamber from the state lunch for Ms Gillard, it's nevertheless highly unusual to have the chamber used in such a way. I asked parliamentary historian John Martin if he knew of a similar event in the past.
It is pretty unusual. In the 19th century, it was perhaps more common when people came to the bar of the House, but in the 20th century, the instance that's familiar to me is that of 1951, where a House of Commons delegation presented a new Speaker's chair to the House of Representatives. And the delegation had the bar of the House opened to them by the Sergeant-at-Arms, and they proceeded onto the floor of the chamber and actually spoke from adjacent to the table of the House in recognition of the centenary of parliamentary government in New Zealand. I think the reference was to the 1852 Constitution Act. And so they presented a new Speaker's chair to the House on that occasion.
That was part of the proceedings, though, wasn't it? They were actually admitted into the chamber.
Yes, it was formally recorded in the parliamentary proceedings, and their speeches were in Hansard. So it became part of the parliamentary record, and they were there on the floor of the House and were recorded as such in the proceedings.
Whereas this is different. The Parliament won't be in session, as it were.
Now, as I understand it, it's outside of the sitting hours of that particular day on Tuesday. So it's a slightly different sort of situation. I guess the most recent sort of parallel might be the Youth Parliament that take place every few years in the chamber itself, while the House is not sitting.
When you were talking about the bar, what is that exactly?
Well, that's two brass rods which swing to form a symbolic barrier to the entrance of the House at the end of the chamber from the Speaker's chair. And the opening or closing of the bar is controlled by the Sergeant-at-Arms. Now, historically, and this is based on the House of Commons tradition, people were required to come to the bar to stand adjacent in front of those two brass things and be interrogated by the House on the spot. So they weren't actually on the floor of the House as such. They were prevented from going onto the floor, but they were called to the chamber to account for themselves. And there are quite a number of instances of that in the 19th century, including several Maori chiefs who came with supporters and spoke at the bar. And also, in a quite famous incident, the director of the Bank of New Zealand in the 1890s, who was called to give evidence in relation to various accounts held by the bank, and he refused to do so. And the upshot of all of that was that he was fined the very substantial amount of £500 by the House of Representatives for not cooperating with Parliament.
So that would be all his bonus then, would it?
I imagine the bank paid it for him, I don't know.
Parliamentary historian John Martin. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.